Amid tensions in the South China Sea, China on Monday dispatched 4 Navy ships, 2 helicopters, and 1,100 military personnel to take part for the first time in the U.S.-led biennial international maritime exercise known as Rim of the Pacific, or RIMPAC. The 5-week exercise beginning June 26th around the Hawaiian Islands will involve 23 nations, 47 ships, more than 200 aircraft, and 25,000 personnel. A Chinese military commentator told the state-run Global Times China's participation shows its confidence in its naval capability and increasing transparency in its military buildup. A Shanghai University military expert says it also shows a new maturity in China's foreign relations by working with other nations which it may have disagreements. Carl Baker, director of programs at the Hawaii-based Pacific Forum Security Think Tank, told VOA's Victor Beatty the exercises put Chinese forces alongside some traditional rivals.
They'll be participating in search and rescue operations, as well as just some joint maneuvers with other navies, understanding that the Japanese are participating, of course, and the Indians are participating partly in response to the Chinese decision to participate. So I would anticipate that they would be involved in rather benign sort of activities that are available to all the participants.
How would you describe the U.S.-China mill-to-mill relationship right now? Is it contentious?
Sure, parts of it are. But I think, you know, over the past couple of years since Secretary of Defense Panetta made this agreement in 2012, I think there have been pretty big improvements in U.S.-China mill-to-mill relations. You know, we've had several visits by high-level folks, and there's been some agreement on surveillance activities. You haven't really seen a lot of belligerent activity between the U.S. and China as we did a couple of years ago. So I think both sides see an improvement in mill-to-mill relations. Now, having said that, of course, the whole idea of confrontation is still there with the anti-access aerial denial by the Chinese and with the air-sea battle concept by the United States. You know, there's still this ongoing problem between the United States and China over the Chinese approach to anti-access area denial, which is really a concept that denies access to essentially the East China Sea and South China Sea by U.S. Military forces. And then, of course, the U.S. in response has developed an air-sea battle concept, which, of course, tries to develop strategies and doctrine in how to penetrate into secure zones like those areas. So, you know, I think that that's still an underlying tension between the two, and it remains to be seen how that all plays out. But overall, the military-to-military relationship has improved.
East-West Center senior fellow Denny Roy was not surprised it took China 2 years from receiving the invitation to announcing its participation.
If China participates, does that mean that China is implying some kind of tacit acceptance of U.S. policy or U.S. presence in the region? These kind of questions had to be sorted through.
Well, of course, this comes amid tensions, cyber spying involving the PLA, obviously tensions in the East and South China Sea. Will that have any impact on these exercises?
One of the problems with building the military-to-military relationship between these two countries over the years has been China has often used their non-participation as a way to express displeasure with policies by the United States. So at any given time, there's always one or two issues that China's particularly unhappy about with the United States. So accepting the invitation as opposed to not accepting it, you know, the argument had to be sorted through within China. Do we want to use this as an opportunity to signal our displeasure with the United States? Or given to the counterargument, which is it's good to have a solid mill-to-mill relationship with the United States regardless of other potential difficulties, which has been the American position all along. We have to prepare ourselves for the possibility that the Chinese might, as a result of their participation, come away with a sense that they weren't treated as a full partner or as a first-class citizen, because there are many participants and many have been doing it for many years, and I understand there's kind of a hierarchy of who gets to berth where, and some countries may see some berthings as, you know, closer to the action or farther from the action. When ships participate, where they're placed in the formation and so on. So if the Chinese are hypersensitive about being treated as the second most powerful country in Asia, then they might be looking for indications their status is not being fully recognized.
Will China reap an intelligence bonanza for monitoring other navies during this exercise?
From the standpoint of intelligence collecting, this is a reason for China to participate. I mean, there's the surreptitious part of China finding out things that other countries don't want them finding out about. But then there's the above-board part of it, which is simply learning practices from other navies, how they do certain operations, how they handle multiple ships trying to do the same thing and coordinate their efforts. It's nothing but positive from that perspective.
Roy says China is close to becoming a major naval power, and he expects it to achieve that status within a decade. However, he says China still lacks overseas bases, a key component that is a force multiplier for navies like the United States. Roy says photographic evidence suggests a land reclamation effort is underway, and he says it's hard to imagine what other purpose there would be for such construction other than a forward base in the event of military conflict.